Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled the message for this morning, The Story Within the Story. And we are going to look at what the Word of God tells us about Barabbas. And Barabbas is the man that Christ took his place. Barabbas was scheduled to be crucified on that middle cross, and Christ took his place. And this man Barabbas tells us something about what was really going on when Christ was nailed to the cross. The story, speaking of Barabbas, the story within the story. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 6. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. Now every Passover, a prisoner would be released. This was not found commanded in the scripture. It was the Roman government who did this, I suppose, to appease the Jews. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude cried aloud, began to desire him to do as he'd ever done unto them. They wanted Pilate to release a prisoner the way he did every year. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye that I should do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, the Lord has given us a story within the story with regard to Barabbas to teach us something about why Christ was nailed to a cross. And we're given substitution in this story. Now let me say this. When we think of a substitute, we think of a substitute teacher. We think of maybe a ball game. Someone goes on in the place for somebody else and they substitute for them. Those ideas we have of substitution fail to teach what biblical substitution is, how Christ took Barabbas's place. So I pray that God will use this to teach me and you what the Bible has to say about this thing of substitution, why Christ was dying on the cross. Now Barabbas was a very evil man. Matthew's account tells us he was a notable prisoner. Notorious. I have no doubt that he was on the most wanted list until he was arrested. He was an insurrectionist, a rebellious, and a violent man. The scripture describes him as a thief and a robber. He plundered people and through violence took what belonged to them. And he was a murderer. Now, Barabbas was to be crucified. This notorious criminal and dangerous man, someone you would not want in society. And he had a very interesting name, Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the Father. You know, when the Lord calls Peter Simon Bar-Jonas, it means Simon the son of Jonas. Barabbas means the son of the Father. And he typifies a son of Adam, a rebel against God. Adam's our first father. He typifies our first father, a thief and a robber, seeking to rob God of his glory, a murderer, guilty of the murder of the Son of God. He typifies a son of our first father, Adam, but he also typifies someone that God saves, a true son of the Father, and how they are saved. Now, one Friday morning in Jerusalem, there were three men scheduled to be crucified. Two nameless thieves and a man by the name of Barabbas. They were to be crucified by the Roman government. And Barabbas, the scripture says, lay bound in the prison cell. And I try to put myself in his place when the morning of his execution arrived. How do you think he felt that night? I doubt that he got much sleep, if any. How do you think he felt when the morning came, that sense of dread, knowing what is getting ready to take place? Now, he might have been a very hardened man, but I'll guarantee you he wasn't hard at the thought of being crucified. He wasn't indifferent about that. The pain he was going to experience, to have to be nailed to a cross and suffer and stay there until you die, I'm sure he was overcome with a sense of dread. And he hears the prison guards coming. He hears them moving and opening his prison cell. Can you imagine the sense of dread that he felt? Now, before we go on with the prison guards opening the cell, let's go to another scene that Barabbas didn't know anything about. You see, he was in a dungeon, a dark prison cell, and he did not know what was going on outside. Now, we read in verse 6 of Mark chapter 15, "Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired." Now this was a custom. It was not prescribed in the law, but every Passover day, this was instituted by the Roman government, every Passover day to appease the Jews, they would deliver and set free some Jewish prisoner, whoever the people desired to be set free. That happened every Passover, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now, he was public enemy number one, and he was sent to prison, and his death sentence was given, and today is the day of the death sentence. Crucifixion was reserved for the most notorious, the most vile criminals. And that's exactly what Barabbas was. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. "We want you to release us, a prisoner, whoever we ask for." But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Now this is what the Jews hated. This is why they had Christ arrested in the first place, because he claimed to be king. And they couldn't stand Pilate saying the King of the Jews, but he says it. "For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He knew they were envious of the Lord Jesus Christ and despised the thought of him being king. And so I think he said that somewhat to rub it in. He did not like the Jews. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them." No, we don't want the King of the Jews, the Lord Jesus, released. We want him crucified. We want this criminal, this murderer, this thief released unto us. And Pilate answered and said unto them again, What will ye that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? Once again, I think this is a jab on Pilate's part. And they cried out again, Crucify him. They wanted Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, to be nailed to a cross and hang there until he die, dying in pain and agony. That is how much they hated him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, let's go back to that prison cell. All this happened without Barabbas knowing it. And now he hears the prison cell open, and he's overcome with fear and dread. And the soldiers come in and say to Barabbas, You have been set free. Someone has taken your place. Can you imagine how shocked he was? How happy he was? You've been set free. He thought they were coming to take him to nail him to the cross. And he hears, You have been set free. Somebody has taken your place. Now in the story, the innocent is condemned that the guilty might go free. The cross was for Barabbas, the notorious, notable criminal, the malefactor, but the Lord Jesus took his place on the cross, and Barabbas was set free. Now, I have 4 points to this message. I hope you listen to them carefully. Sovereignty, sin, substitution, and salvation. And wouldn't it be a blessing if you and I are given the grace to understand and enter into what these things mean? Now, the first word I would like to use with regard to what took place is sovereignty. I'm going to read from Luke's account in Luke chapter 23. We read in verse 17 with regard to Pilate. It says, For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. Now notice those words. Of necessity he must. Now why is that language used? It was not prescribed in the law. God didn't say to do this in his word. It was not necessary in the sense that justice was done. I mean, a criminal's being let back out into society. There's nothing just about that. There is one reason why this was necessary. There was one reason why this must be done, because of the will of the sovereign God. Do you remember in Gethsemane's garden when he was praying, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This was the will of God being done. God is the cause of this. You see, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's purpose is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God created the universe. Listen to me. God created the universe so Christ could come and be nailed to that cross. The scripture says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's why he was delivered. Listen, he wasn't a victim. He was doing what he did willingly. He was doing what he did in obedience to his Father's command. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. The reason this was necessary is because it was the sovereign will and purpose of God. You see, the cross of Christ is the whole counsel of God. Now, I say this reverently. Christ going to the cross is the most godlike thing God ever did. It's the subject of the eternities. It was a necessity that must be because of the sovereign purpose of God. Now, those men that were nailing the spikes in his hands and in his feet, they were doing what they wanted to do. They weren't being constrained to do this. They hated Jesus Christ. They wanted him nailed to a cross. But remember this, God is absolutely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions of men. And he was nailed to that cross according to the purpose of God. Now, the second word I'd like to bring out is sin. Sin. Anybody can see that Barabbas was a sinful man. I mean, he was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a robber. All of society would agree that Barabbas was a sinful man, but that's not the real picture of sin. Not at all. In Luke chapter 23, verse 25, we read, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. They required Christ to be crucified. They craved it. They wanted it. And he released unto them him that for sedition had and murder was cast into prison, Barabbas, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, sin is seen in the will. What man desires, what man wants. And their desire, their will, was for Jesus Christ to be nailed to a cross. That's what they willed. That is what they desired. Now, I hear people talking about free will, and it's almost a given that people believe that man has a free will. But you know, that's just not so. It's not what the Scripture teaches. Your will is controlled by your nature. There's no such thing as a free will. God doesn't have a free will in the sense that he can't just up and decide to become evil. He can't up and decide to sin. God cannot lie. God cannot change. There are things God cannot do because of his nature. And to speak of free will is a denial of the sinful nature of man. Man's will is controlled by his nature. And to speak of man having a free will is the same thing as saying man's will is sovereign over God's will. God might will something, but man can trump that will if he freely decides to do that. Can't be done. God's will is sovereign, and man's will is evil. Now, the evil of man is not seen, it's partly seen in actions like Barabbas, murder, robbery. No doubt that's evil. But those are only symptoms of the true problem. Men hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. Someone says, now wait a minute, preacher. I don't hate God. I don't hate Jesus Christ. Well, you might not hate your idea of a Christ that you feel comfortable with, of a God you have made up that you feel comfortable with and can even say, I love him. But the God of the Bible, the God who's absolutely sovereign, the God who controls everything and everybody, who's the first cause, the God who saves whom he will, and he passes by whom he will, that God the natural man does not love. They say, my God's not like that. I know he's not. But this is the God of the Bible. Now, to not love this God, to not love the God of holiness, to not love the God of absolute sovereignty, to not love the God of absolute justice, to not love the God of saving love and saving mercy and saving grace, to not love that God is to hate Him. Let me repeat. To not love the God of the Bible as He is, as He reveals Himself in His Word, is to hate Him. And men expressed what they really thought about God. Remember, Christ is the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in His body. And when God let men do what they wanted to do, they nailed Him to a cross. Sin. He delivered Jesus to their will. Now, the third statement I'd like to make, the next point, is substitution. We've seen sovereignty. God's sovereignty caused all this. We've seen sin, man's sinful hatred of God. And the next word is substitution, and this is the heart and soul of the gospel. All this is good news. There's no understanding of the gospel without this substitution, and this is what happened at this time. The innocent, Christ, was condemned, and the guilty, Barabbas, was set free. Now, what a horrible thing when the guilty are set free. How many times have a prisoner been released early, perhaps shock probation, and he's set free and brought back out into society and commits the same crimes? That's a horrible thing when the guilty are set free, when the guilty are not condemned. And what a horrible thing it is for the innocent to be condemned. Can you imagine if you were innocent of a crime you were accused of, how you would feel when you were strapped into the electric chair knowing you didn't do it? How many people are in prison right now who have not been guilty of the crime that they were accused of? Oh, it's a horrible thing when the guilty are set free, and when the innocent are condemned. But let me read a passage of Scripture to you from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. It says, "He that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord." It's not right for the guilty to be set free. It's not right for the innocent to be condemned. But here is the glory of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God made the way to be just. He said, "I'll by no means clear the guilty." To be absolutely, inflexibly just and punish the guilty. And yet, in His justice, He made a way to be just and yet justify the ungodly by making them not guilty. Now, this is something only God can do. He can make somebody who is guilty not guilty. I am guilty. God took it off of me. My sin was placed upon Christ. He became guilty. He became guilty of the commission of my sin. The justice and law of God slew Him. It was God who killed Him. He used men to do it, but it was the justice of God smiting Him. And He took the perfect righteousness of His Son and gave it to me. He gave it to everybody that Christ died for, so they stand before God without guilt, perfectly righteous in God's sight. Now, my dear friends, this is the gospel. Someone says, "That's not gospel." It is to me. And it is to everybody who needs God to do something for them that they can't do for themselves. Now, somebody may be thinking, "Well, how can this be right?" You think of that publican in the temple. He, by his own confession, said he was a sinner. "God be merciful to me, the sinner." He beat on his breast thinking he was the worst man to live. And Christ said with regard to that man, "I tell you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the religious fella." Now, somebody says, "Well, how could that be right?" Well, let me give you some unanswerable reasons. Number one, because God does it. God doesn't do something because it's right. It's right because he does it. And if he does this, it's right. That alone makes it right. God can do this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Secondly, Christ did this willingly. He did this voluntarily. No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Thirdly, because of his relationship with his people. They're his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we are saved the same way we were ruined in another. I was ruined when Adam sinned. I sinned. I was condemned in him. I was ruined in him. But I'm saved in another. I'm saved in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. Now, this is salvation. Barabbas was not set free because he believed or because he was sorry or because he made restitution or because he begged for mercy. He was set free for this one reason. Jesus Christ took his place and he was released. He was set free. Case dismissed. Now, Barabbas did not know Christ took his place. He did not ask Christ to take his place. Christ took his place. And Barabbas found out about it. Now, did Barabbas experience more than temporal salvation? I don't know. I like to think that he did. But I know this. Everybody Christ died for is set free, is released. Somebody may think, how can I know if he died for me? Well, I can answer that question. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you are a sinner, he came to save you. And listen, if he took your place, you must be set free. You are saved. You are perfect in God's sight. You've been made not guilty. That's what justification is. He was delivered for our offenses, their substitution, and raised again for our justification. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.